Hey guys, just a little announcement before this catch-up episode gets kicked off. So we're going to be covering the All Voices Film Festival. I do mention it at the end of this episode, but we've recorded some episodes. We're going to record some more, and this should be released soon in a week or so. And if you're interested in seeing some of these short films, they are on Amazon Prime. You can watch them there. And if you just search All Voices Film Festival, if you Google it, if you search it on Amazon, you should find it. If you hit the page, there is a link here. It says can be streamed here if you click on it. We're also going to post some links in the description of this video if you want to try to find it. I don't know why they make it so difficult to find. But there's a lot of great films on there. They're really fun. So please go out and support some of these guys who are making independent film. I think it's a really cool thing they're doing. And yeah, that's it. Okay, bye. And hello? Because I'll be in the episode in a few seconds, so if you just wait. All right, bye. Hey guys, it's the Indie Film Review catch-up episode. What? We like to have fun here. Whittle, 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 whittle. Yeah, take out your vuvuzillas and your...
This song's called I'm Gonna Rock Your Body. And then in parentheses, it says Till the Break of Dawn.
Till the Break of Dawn, baby. This is a Silly Billy Stupid episode for dummies. I hope you enjoy it. This is not a normal episode. Usually, we review independent films. I mean, duh. Come on. But today, we are just going to do a little catch-up. You know, hey, if you want to know more about us, what we're doing, what we're into, we're going to talk about video games. We're going to talk about movies. And they don't have to be independent films. They can be whatever we want to talk about. We're going to talk about things that attacked us in the night. We're going to talk about our fears.
I have a feeling that Jared's going to lead this episode, guys.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a rambling man, all right?
No, but you're saying, like, you sounded like you were speaking from experience of things attacking you in the night.
No, I'm just very good at improvisation. Yes. Oh. How now, brown cow? Yes. Me. See? Acting. Thank you. So, I'm always joined with Dan. He's here.
Yes.
What do you have in store for us?
I have to really think about it. Okay, so...
You got any goofs? You got any gaffes?
I've been watching classic movies.
Yes.
I've been watching classics.
The theater!
The theater. So I watched the entirety of the Friday the 13th franchise.
Boring.
Some of them I had never seen before, and I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? Have you seen... Jason Goes to Hell?
Like a long, long time ago.
It's the most batshit crazy Friday the 13th I've ever seen. Like, it was pretty batshit crazy that he went up to space in Jason X, but yeah. I have to say, Jason Goes to Hell is the most outlandish Friday the 13th movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it starts Jason off, X sucked, by the way.
I didn't mind Jason X compared to this movie.
You know what was a good person goes to space? Horror? Leprechaun. The Leprechaun one.
Oh, yeah.
It's where so the dumb. Leprechaun
comes out of his dick. Yeah, it's fucking great.
Oh, it's so incredibly stupid, but it's actually really fun.
Well, Leprechaun Goes to Space was much lower budget than Jason X, I think.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Jason Goes to Hell starts with, for some reason, the whole world knows about Jason.
Yeah.
And it starts off like any other Friday the 13th movie where, like, this girl shows up to camp and she's wearing the camping attire and she's about to take a bath and Jason's stalking her and is going to stab her. And as soon as he's about to stab her, like, she runs out into this big open field and then a SWAT team comes out of nowhere and starts to blow the shit out of Jason, and it fucking works. And then for some reason, there's this fucking... bounty hunter guy that's watching the whole thing named Creighton Duke, and he's like,
good
name. Nope, not gonna work. And then that's what sets the movie up. And apparently Jason is like a little hell beast that he comes out of his mouth and then it possesses people, essentially, like an episode of the fucking X-Files.
Weird. Is there like a scene with like Satan who gives him powers or whatever?
No. You don't go to hell ever. There's no hell. Just like whenever Jason takes Manhattan, you're only in Manhattan for like 2 minutes at the end of the film.
Not even like a cameo from Satan from Bubba the Redneck Werewolf. I mean, that would be nice.
No, that'd be
he just shows up.
I mean, that sounds fun.
It is fun. We also started watching, we watched, Michelle had never seen the Blade Trinity. So
that's
I
your wife,
Blade
right?
Trinity. Yes, my wife.
My wife.
We watched Blade and she enjoyed that.
The Blade trilogy is pretty great. I mean, the third one's getting goofy, but that's what they all do. They always get goofy.
Yeah, but then again, Blade was kind of crazy to be. Oh, there's a couple things I want to talk about that I learned. Number one, Guillermo del Toro directed Blade 2. I did
not
know that. Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Yo.
And did you know that the first Friday the 13th was an independent feature?
No, I did not.
It was independent that was sold to a studio.
Dude, we could cover that movie.
We totally can.
Let's do it. So, okay, a couple movies. Well, I got a lot of movies, actually. Because we haven't done a catch-up episode in a while, so I have a big backlog. I saw Booksmart in theaters. Now, depending on when this gets released, it might not be in theaters anymore, but I highly recommend everyone who has eyeballs.
Booksmart? Why not Movie Dumb?
Oh.
Go on.
Jaywalking, why not Q-walking?
Q-running, jackass.
I had a joke, I threw it on the ground. Yeah, it should be running. That would have been better. This joke was edited for time. We're not going to edit it. Anyways, go watch Booksmart. It's fantastic. The best description I can give to you is it's like Super Bad, but with ladies. Ooh. And it's about two high school girls who are straight A students, bookworms, and all they did in high school was study, study, study. They didn't have any fun. They didn't go to parties. They didn't do all the bad things that kids do. So they think that they are better than everyone else in their school. This isn't a spoiler because you find this out almost immediately. Apparently, all the kids who were partying and being idiots also got into Harvard and all the really good schools. So the thing that they learn is, oh, we just missed out on our entire high school experience, pretty much, and got the same outcome as all these other kids that we went to high school with, because they're all apparently very smart. So they're like, okay, well, we need to go to like a really cool party for the last night of being in high school. So it's like their adventure on trying to go to this legendary party or whatever. And this movie is fantastic. I actually like it more than Superbad. It's so funny, so well made. The soundtrack is awesome. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals, everything about it, the gags, almost everything works. It was great. I loved it. So go see it, Booksmart. It's great. I also watched the new Suspiria.
Chirp.
Yeah. you've seen the original, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Dario Argento. What's that one kid show, Daria? Where she's like talks to the monkey.
That's a kid show. Yeah, no, that's Dora. Dora the Explorer.
Oh, I'm thinking of Dora the Explorer.
Daria is a different show.
Oh, Daria is the animated show that's a spinoff to Beavis and Butthead. So, anywho, Suspiria is almost a completely different take. Which is kind of nice that it's not a shot-for-shot remake. The only issue is that it spoils exactly what the movie is immediately. So it makes what the first movie was not the mystery anymore. Because in the first film, it's a girl going to a ballet. Some weird stuff happens. People start dying, maybe, you know, crazy stuff's happening. And she's trying to figure out what's going on. That's the whole film. In this movie, you know exactly what's going on. And it's not about the mystery. It's about the journey of these characters going through what's going on and the visuals and how uncomfortable the movie is going to make you feel. So we've talked before about how films don't necessarily need to be good based on how good they make you feel. Like some movies can make you very mad or upset or anxious or uneasy and still be considered good in those respects because that was the thing they were going for. Like auteurs or what's the name of like a Lars von Trier type of thing where he's a provocateur. He's trying to get an emotion out of you. This is what this movie is doing. They do it very well through sound. They'll like play like a record scratching or like a tape rewinding, or they'll like have these things in the background while characters are having conversations intentionally. And it is just making my skin crawl and driving me crazy. And then they have these, so you might actually like this, Dan. Then they have these insane dream sequences that are just so disturbing. It reminded me of, here's a big stretch for everybody. It's called The Lair of the White Worm.
Oh, dude, yes.
And I think it's like an Irish horror movie. Very insane. I saw this when I was like a little kid. Like, I was way too young to see this movie. There's a scene where, like, this lady bites this guy's dick off in a hot tub. So if that doesn't get you excited to watch this movie, I don't know what does. I tried to watch it again when I was older, and it was, like, silly. It was actually kind of, like, a fun watch.
It's a huge fun watch, for sure.
But what was disturbing when I saw that when I was young is there are moments where characters will touch, like, a crucifix, and then it'll do this montage of, like, biblical things happening and like pictures of hell and like people getting crucified and blood. And it was just like so intense and it really freaked me out. And like that's what it kind of reminded me of. Like Suspiria does really graphic imagery like that. You're like, whoa, this is intense.
That was directed Lair of the White Worm by the great Ken Russell, who also did films like Altered States.
Oh, and, yeah. That movie's great.
Fuck, what was the other film he did?
Sleepless in Seattle is what you're thinking.
Yes, Sleepless in Altered States and Sleepless in Seattle, for sure. No, he did Tommy, he did... fuck, what is the name of that fucking...
Did he do The Serpent in the Rainbow?
No, that was Wes Craven, man.
Oh, okay, that's Wes Craven, all right.
That's a fucking great
movie. Oh my God, I love that movie.
Man, now I just want to watch all these fucking movies.
I know, it's weird because like certain people, like my coworkers and other people I know, where I'm like... They'll like this movie, but when you say that title, they're just like, what the hell are you talking about? Like Serpent in the Rainbow. What the hell is that? It sounds weird, but it's great. So, yeah, I started off not being into it, but the longer I watched, the more I appreciated it and kind of enjoyed it.
Oh.
So I think it is worth a watch. The only issue is that it's 2.5 hours long, and it focuses on this old man character, which there's a thing about that character I won't spoil. It's very fascinating. But... I almost felt like that character's, like this movie likes to take its time, where it's like, hey, we're going to show you 10 minutes of an old man walking around. And you're like, all right. It was interesting. And some things I was kind of like, why are we focusing on this? But it had a pretty cool twist, interesting payoff, pretty graphic, a very provocative film, I will say. How about that?
Very provocative.
I may still prefer the original because I'm a snob. Of the film.
For Italian horror.
Yes, Dario Argento is my Italian boyfriend of filmmaking, so I have to be loyal to him.
Is he still alive?
In my heart he is. I'm not sure. So,
Noah's daughter's still alive. She's making a film soon, I think.
Is there any other movies you want to talk about before we get into Vigigames, Dan?
No, Danielson. I don't think there are any more. Yeah, he's still alive.
Very quickly, if you haven't seen The Favorite... Go see that movie. It's fantastic. It's been winning awards. It's a very excellent movie. I won't go into detail about it, but it's called The Favorite. Go watch it. It is a period piece, drama, comedy. It's fantastic. The camera work is fantastic. I don't think I've ever seen a movie that uses fisheye lens and makes it good.
Fucking the Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay, yeah, but it's hard. It's really hard to use fisheye lens effectively. But that movie somehow figures it out. So yeah, watch that.
I'm only saying that. I don't even fucking like Wes Anderson.
Well, you're a jerk.
But that was a very creative use of fisheye lens.
And nobody likes you. So I also saw Snowpiercer, which I...
For the first time?
Yeah, I totally missed out on that movie.
Dude!
Yeah, it's great.
You're about to tell me you fucking didn't like it.
No, I liked it. I didn't realize how much of a Korean film this was.
Yeah, it's Bong Joon-ho. It's international, man.
I loved
it. It's fucking crazy.
We love Korean films and like how they're set up, you know, and how they're like usually a bunch of different genres put together. You know, it's just like it's a drama and a comedy
like,
and a horror.
One of my favorite thing that like it's a tick that like I just remember it is how every character does that motion with their hands. Tilda Swinton does it at one point, and so does Ed Harris at the very end.
Yes, yeah.
It's so vivid in my mind. It's so fucking great.
I love the whole idea of the movie, and it ends very like bleak and messed up.
Well,
and...
okay, so you got a bunch of American actors, you got some Korean actors, you got Tilda Swinton, you got Ed Harris, but
who's in Suspiria too, by the way.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
You got a South Korean film director adapting a French graphic novel.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's a huge transnational smorgasbord of goodness. It's wonderful.
Smorgasbord. It was super fun and dark and weird, and I liked the twist at the end. It was a good... I mean, it wasn't an old boy twist, but it was good. I liked it. I didn't see it coming.
I can't believe you've never seen that.
Yeah, I missed the boat on that.
Next, we got to watch Okja.
Okja. Oh, yeah, I need to see that. We actually can cover it. Another Tilda Swinton. God damn, she's in everything.
That's another Bong Joon-ho movie.
Oh, okay. Maybe he just likes her. And probably, I understand why.
But Jake Gyllenhaal's in that movie, too. But I believe that's a Netflix original, so we can cover that on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal is another great actor.
Paul Dano, too. Paul Dano's a fucking powerhouse, you remember?
Yeah, Paul Dano, for sure. So I saw the new Pet Sematary. Don't see
it. Ooh, let's talk about this, because I saw it, too.
Don't see it. You don't need to see it. Yeah. It's fine.
Do not watch that movie.
It's not good.
Do not go to the theater. It was painfully bad.
Especially if you've read the book or seen the original movie, it's like sad what they did. And they had John Lithgow in this movie and they didn't do anything with him. And it made me so sad. It felt like he was just phoning it in. Like he just didn't give a shit about what was going on at all. Didn't it? I don't know. He's just like tired.
It's a paycheck, man.
Yeah. It was seriously a paycheck for him. And then some of the acting from the dad made me laugh. Like when he would get mad, he's like, no. I was like, oh, this is not good. And the way they tried to subvert your expectations in case you've read the book or seen the original movie was like laughable. It was just really dumb. Just some of the connections they did.
That's exactly what my point was. It's just like the connections were way, way off. They didn't make it.
They cut all the
connections were like frayed at best. Yeah, exactly.
The big thing about Pet Sematary, if you don't know about it, is the relationship between the doctor father, who has just moved into a new town near the Pet Sematary, and his next door neighbor, who is an old man, who he sees as a father figure, and it becomes his best friend. Their relationship is so important in the movie that it guides how you feel about, like, you grow attached to the old man and him because of their relationship and what's going on with that. And it becomes very pivotal throughout the film and the book. And in the new film, they make the old man have a friendship with the little girl for some reason. And I'm just like, why did you do that? And so they completely cut the guy's role out. So then later on when he does things and the old man is responding to it, it doesn't make any sense. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like there's so many threads that they cut that they just kind of assume that you know from the book or from the old movie that I'm like, you haven't established that. So like new people watching this aren't going to understand what the fuck is going on. And even if when they do, they're going to be like, well, this was done pretty dumb because it doesn't make any sense. So they pee on the logic. The ending is terrible. They they try to do this different type of ending, which was just so flat.
Well, because it's one of those bleak Stephen King endings.
I mean, the original is bleak, but the way they did this was just stupid. I don't know. I wasn't into it. So, video games. I've been playing a lot of Dauntless.
I don't know what that is.
That is it's a Monster Hunter World Light.
Oh.
So, Dan, you don't really like Monster Hunter, so I didn't think you would like it too much, so I haven't really talked to you about it. But it's a very simplified version of a Monster Hunter game, and it's free. And I'm really enjoying it. I've been putting a lot of time into it, and I'm still not bored, and there's still, like, newer monsters and new stuff to do in the game. It's definitely got some bugs, some things they got to work out, but, you know, it's constantly being updated and worked on. And it's cross-platform, so you can play it on PC, Xbox, PS4. I think that's neat. Yeah. So, I mean, not too much to say about the game, other than I'm enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to, like, the updates. It's the type of game where, like, when you're bored and there's no other good games out, and you're like, I guess I could go back and play this game, because it's like... It's like, it can't hurt anything. I'm not paying for it. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. Do you have a game you want to talk about?
I've been playing a few. There's like a Diablo clone called Paths of Exile that's free, was free.
Mm-hmm.
And
it should be free.
That has an insane skill tree.
Yeah, that's what turned me off from that game.
Really?
Yeah, I can't get into it because it's too intimidating.
I've been playing that. I've been playing Sekiro.
Sekiro.
I'm whittling away at it.
Please beat that game already. It's such a good game.
It's so upset. I beat the Guardian Ape. The Guardian Ape number 2. I beat it.
Yeah.
And I got to the fucking Phantom Town, which is, oh my God, no more.
The fishing village?
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is crazy. So this might be light spoilers for the game, but I mean, the game's been out for a while. Come on. Fucking play the game already. It's a fantastic game. I platinum that game, by the way. I don't platinum games too often. Yeah. That game and Bloodborne might be the only games I've platinumed. I mean, there might be.
Skyrim was the first game that I platinumed.
Really? Oh, there's too much content for me to platinum that game.
And, Borderlands 2, because that's for free on the network this month.
Nice, yeah. I'm super hyped about Borderlands 3. I think that one's going to be really good. I know some people are down on it because they think the story or, like, the characters are too, like, zany or silly or whatever.
But that's what fucking Borderlands is.
Yeah, that's the charm of it. It's like, I like how dumb it is.
Yeah.
I enjoy that aspect. And you're not really there for that. Like, that's just, like, the game knows. It's, like, a little self-aware, I guess. Because it's more about the gameplay and the guns. And, like, that's the fun. And the rest is just kind of like, let's just be silly. Who cares? Games I'm looking forward to, Death Stranding. Oh, my gosh. They released a 8-minute trailer that's fantastic. I've been listening to the music, the soundtrack of it, nonstop. It's so good. God, I cannot wait for that game. I don't even need to know what it is. Like, I don't need to understand what it is to love it immensely. Just on style alone. I think that game's going to be great. Code Vein is like an anime Dark Souls, which I like any kind of Dark Souls game I'm into.
Yeah.
Nioh 2. Oh,
yeah, again, Nioh
2
is going to
be fucking sick. I kind of hope they change it up a little bit because right now the alpha just looks like Nioh 1.5. And I'm hoping they at least change up the interface or change up the moves of the weapons and stuff a little more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just feels too similar to the first one, which... Again, a lot of people are saying it's not a bad thing because my main complaint was I want more enemy variety and more levels. So, and there's more customization apparently in the second one. Do you see a pattern with the games that I like, Dan? They're all Souls-like.
Yes. They're all Souls-like. Except for
Death Stranding. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about before we close out?
I can't really think of anything, no. I think we got everything out in the open.
Yeah, so one quick thing I can say is there's a... there's a film festival thing on Amazon that I want to cover. Hopefully we're going to do it really soon, called All Voices Film Festival. You can go on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, you can go and find these short films that people submitted. And I believe you can vote for them. So you can go there and vote for people's films. And I guess they win a prize, which I think is cool. And they're featured on Amazon, which is neat. Everybody watches that. So like, this isn't sponsored or anything. I just thought it was really cool. I'm always looking around for stuff like this, so I think me and Dan are going to cover a few of them in an episode. I was thinking maybe we could do like a two-part, like, because there's a lot of them. We can cut it up and have two different episodes for it. I think it's something really fun that everybody could get behind. That's about it. So you can find us at Gmail at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We're on iTunes. What is it called now, Dan?
It's called Apple Podcasts. Apple, I mean, it's been Apple Podcasts for a while, but they are discontinuing iTunes. Good for Apple.
Good. They need to discontinue Apple. You burnt. No, they just need to make their interface not as restrictive. It's ridiculous.
We're on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. We're on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. Please tweet at us, Instagram at us, do all those wonderful things.
Yeah, anywhere you can find podcasts or stream podcasts, we're there in your RSS feed, in your mind. So thank you, everybody who's been listening. I love all of you, and I think about you all every day, and I light a candle, and I face Mecca, and I kiss my Buzz Lightyear toy that I have on my desk. And I say each and every one of your names, even though I don't know your names. So I have to make up names and it takes a long time. I'm also crazy. Anyways, Dan, you have the final word.
Just hit your rewind 15 seconds button and listen to that again.